Good morning. The meeting of the Administrative Regulatory Review Committee will come to order at 8:03 in room 124. Today is Thursday, April 10th. Members present today are my Vice Chair, Senator Giesel, Representative Hawker, Senator Stevens, and myself, Chair Reinbold. I expect the others to be showing up shortly. Today, the names of the teleconference and House record staff are Shane Rude and Chris Jones. So thank you very much for being here. Let the records reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. And please, everyone, if you don't mind turning your phone off, that would be very helpful. We don't do donuts here. We do fruit baskets. So if it does go off, we're going to have something healthy in here. Today, we have one item on the agenda. It's dealing with water well logs. The issue was brought to us by Senator Dunleavy. And today, to present the overview, is his staff, Yasmin Hawash. So please, come forth. You know the routine.
Mm-hmm. Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Yasmin Hawash, and I'm staff to Senator Dunleavy. We appreciate you taking the time this morning to hear about water well logs. Regulation 11AAC 93.14 has been in effect since 1977. This regulation states that the water well contractor or a person who constructs the well shall file a report within 45 days of completion with both property owner and the department. Thereafter, several requirements are listed which must be included in the water well logs. This regulation ends with G, which states information required by A is required for any water well that has been deepened, modified, or abandoned, and for any water supply well or water well that is used for monitoring, observation, or aquifer testing, including a dry or low-yield water well that is not used. This regulation is what we would like to discuss today. We have drummers on the line, Mr. James Squires and several others, as well as DNR representatives, Department of Natural Resources, Deputy Commissioner Ed Fogles, Department of Law, Mr. John Baker, and Chief of the Water Section for Division of Mining, Land, and Water, Mr. Dave Shady, for any further questions in regards to the regulations. Please let me know if you have any questions that I can answer.
Okay, thank you, Yasmin. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and start with James. James, are you on the line from Delta Junction?
Yes, can you hear me all night? All right?
We certainly can, and I think you know the drill, but please just mention who you are and who you're representing, please.
Okay, thank you very much. Madam Chair and members of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, it is my distinct honor to make this presentation to you today about Alaska Administrative Code 11AAC 93.140A and G. We will call it the regulation. It requires the turning in of private well logs, which I'm against. I understand that you have a copy of this regulation before you. My name is James Arthur Squires. I bring a broad and diverse background to this discussion. I'm a third-generation CPA. I worked in the firm Squires, Johnson & Squires for a while and became a partner in the firm of Boudelaar, Stornfeld & Squires. After some time, I sold my interest in that firm, and my wife and I sailed completely around the world for the next 11 and a half years in our 37-foot sailboat Rainbow Chaser. You may be wondering what this has to do with well logs. In our 11 and a half years abroad, we sailed through 25-plus countries. It did not take long to realize what makes our great country different as our Constitution. The oppression and tyranny we have seen abroad is what made me keenly aware of infringements on our individual rights that are taking place back here in the United States. I'm also keenly aware of the oaths we have taken to protect and defend the Constitution. I come before you today as an Alaska citizen and a private landowner in a state that is only 1% or so private land. I also come to you from the unorganized borough, which is more than one half of this great state. I'm also informing you that I'm not receiving nor accepting any pay for my research, expenses, or presentation, and finally, that the well drillers I've lined up from around the state to talk to you this morning are an integral part of my presentation. This is about a proposal that the regulation be eliminated. or change the language from shall to may or encourage. I bring this before this committee for two reasons. Current regulation overreaches statute per se, creating an onerous and unconstitutional burden on well drillers and landowners. The current regulation is in conflict with and violates the Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Sections 1, 2, 14, and 22. Now here's a little background. This regulation requires water drillers to file their well logs after drilling and completion of private wells drilled on private property with DNR DEC. Apparently, this regulation has been in effect since 1977. Rural drillers throughout the state have instinctively resisted this regulation through nullification, citing the privacy concerns of individual landowners and their own proprietary interest in these well logs that contribute to the economic viability of their entrepreneurial going concerns. It is increasingly coming to the attention of many citizens of this state that this regulation has overreached the statute, i.e. the Alaska Water Use Act, Title 46, Chapter 15, as there is no requirement at the statute level to compel well drillers to turn in their logs for private wells, especially private wells drawing less than 500 gallons of water per day and not adversely affecting others. This instinctive resistance by well drillers to turn in their logs is affirmed by the Alaska Constitution Declaration of Rights, Article 1, Sections 1, 2, 14, and 22. The case is so compelling in favor of cleaning up this regulation that the DNR has not been enforcing this regulation, has always exerted a certain tolerance, which has led to the current conflicting status quo. Let's take a look at the statutory overreach and some constitutional elements. Alaska Statute Title 46, Chapter 15 is the Water Use Act. Nowhere in this statute does it compel drillers or landowners, especially regarding personal use wells with consumption of less than 500 gallons per day, to file well logs with the DNR DEC. Arguably, 90%+ of all wells in this state fit this category. The statute does give the authority to determine and appropriate water rights to all who apply. It clearly spells out the risk for not doing so on a first-come, first-served basis. There are many reasons why someone would want to race to file for water rights under the current statute, but there are also valid reasons why one would not wish to file due to unconstitutional elements we are about to discuss. The current status of the statute actually addresses concerns of both, but the problem is in the regulation. Many drillers, especially rural drillers, argue that this requirement to turn in well logs erodes a valuable proprietary interest in his going concern and makes himself an involuntary and unwilling party to an unconstitutional violation of privacy, which we will more fully discuss in a few minutes. Not merely his own privacy, but the privacy of the landowner who paid for the drilling of a personal use well. Now, before we talk about the constitutional elements of this discussion, let's talk a little bit about a well driller's proprietary interest in well logs. Now, this is really important. Back in my days as a practicing CPA and tax partner, we frequently needed to value small, closely held businesses for various reasons. Buying, selling, estate tax, and divorce are just a few reasons why one would have to delve into these calculations and account for them in the books. There are many ways to calculate the fair market value of a business, but the bottom line is a meeting of the minds on what a buyer and seller are willing to exchange. A well-known business with a good reputation will sell for more than the fair market value of all the buildings, equipment, and hard assets of the business. This difference in accounting lingo is an intangible asset known as goodwill, and it is booked accordingly as an asset and amortized over time. In a more urban environment, with a high density of wells, it may be common knowledge what the water depth is in the subdivision. Certainly a high number of wells and population base will produce competition. The established driller may be more interested in licensing and regulation compliance to differentiate his business from the competition rather than retaining the log where everyone knows the depth anyway, and the well owners are aggressively motivated to file for water rights. The rural driller, on the other hand, may have a tendency for a lower volume of drilling with a lower population density and may have to travel farther between drill sites over more difficult and seasonal terrain. Well owners may be less interested in filing for water rights if the nearest neighbor is miles down the road and one uses less than 500 gallons a day. Landowners reserve the right to file for water rights at any time on a first-come, first-served basis, and I agree that they need to be educated about the risk and consequence of delay. Experience, reputation, and proprietary knowledge in the driller's head adds increased value and goodwill to his business. There is a dollar value at stake attributable to this intangible called goodwill. Just because it is hard to calculate when a business is not bought or sold does not mean it does not exist. Goodwill is a well-known concept under generally accepted accounting principles, and it gets hammered down with a hard dollar value that hits the books when someone sells, buys their business, takes in a new partner, etc. Rural well drillers have instinctively resisted handing in well logs that confiscate goodwill from their business. Now let's take a look at the constitutional elements. Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 1, inherent rights. This has to do with the enjoyment and rewards of their own industry. In the case of well logs, the rural driller is especially vulnerable to unfair competition from new entrants to the industry who do not have to earn the information from long work in the field, endured through continual risk of capital and livelihood. The entrepreneurial model of free enterprise that builds a solid reputation for the long-standing successful driller is undermined when proprietary information is compelled to be turned over to the government, then made available to all their competitors via the WELTS database that posts all this private information on the World Wide Web. The drillers and landowners bringing this topic to the attention of this committee are exercising their corresponding obligation to the people and to the state. In other words, rights have to be exercised, or history has shown that they are eroded and subject to being trampled by unsympathetic bureaucracies allowed to run unchecked. Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, Source of Government. All political power is inherent in the people. All government originates with the people. It's founded on their will only. Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 22, Right of Privacy. The right of the people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed. The legislature shall implement this section. Currently, all well logs turned in are placed on the World Wide Web, the WELTS database published by DNR DEC. This might be understandable for public water well supplies or wells on state land. However, I understand that some of those public wells are actually maintained as confidential due to terrorist concerns. It is extremely clear that well drillers and private landowners who do not file their well logs have an expectation of privacy. Otherwise, they would turn them in. If this regulation were eliminated or modified, this and other constitutional elements are satisfied. An individual who voluntarily gives up an expectation of privacy when they come forward to call upon DNR to appropriate, as per DNR's required duty under the Water Use Act, it's voluntarily. For most folks in rural Alaska with personal use wells drawing less than 500 gallons per day and not adversely affecting others, this may never be an issue. Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 14, searches and seizures. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, and other property, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. This section clearly expands on the right to privacy by further elaborating on property, papers, and effects, which would certainly include well logs, paid for, private well logs, I might add, paid for by the economic wealth of the landowner. And this information is placed on a World Wide Web for all to see, supposedly for innocent and good purposes. Little thought is given to how that data might be used, manipulated, or searched with current or even future technology not yet developed. The people, as defined in Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, are increasingly becoming informed and educated on the potential for metadata to fall into the wrong hands, to be used inadvertently or on a purpose in a manner which is against their best interests. The people call upon the legislature to protect us from onerous and overreaching regulations that so obviously violate individual rights. Let's discuss some other constitutional considerations. Alaska Constitution, Article 8, Section 3, Common Use. Fish, wildlife, and waters are reserved to the people for common use. I think we would all agree that no one would want to deny the people of the state of Alaska a drink of water. currently 11 AAC 93.035 is the requirement to apply for the use of a significant amount of water. This regulation further clarifies the use of less than 500 gallons a day is not considered a significant amount. This is arguably most of the private water wells in the state. DNR DEC will argue that they need every well log to manage each and every drop of water in this state, yet the statute calls for them to appropriate only to those who apply. This is the problem that leads to the violation of constitutional rights, as outlined above. When one files a well log voluntarily, no rights are violated. But when compelled, the regulation we are talking about today calls for the rights are violated. This is unnecessary and fosters an overburden of administrative data collection in excess of the statute that may lead to unnecessary costs showing up in the budget of DNR and DEC. Additional enforcement actions will certainly lead to increased costs to the state of Alaska. Enforcement actions could even lead to expensive legal cases unnecessarily draining state coffers. This might be a good time to recall the case between the federal government and the state of Alaska when the control of wildlife, yes, the same wildlife in Article 8, Section 3 on federal land, when wildlife on federal land control over that was removed from the control of the state, for better or worse, because the federal government believed that rights of some were being violated. Now, I am not arguing the merits of that case one way or another, but it must be highlighted that overreach in this regulation could push us onto legal ground unnecessarily since individual rights are being infringed. Alaska Constitution, Article 8, Section 13, Water Rights. In this section of the Alaska Constitution, the words "are subject to appropriation" is the whole basis for Alaska Statute Title 46, Chapter 15, the Water Use Act. No mention was made in the Constitution or statute about the onerous and unconstitutional elements discussed above in regards to this regulation. Certainly, the Constitution would not call for the violation of individual rights. Okay, folks, I'm wrapping this up. We call on this committee to take all action possible to eliminate this regulation, or simply to change the language from shall to may or encourage. This is a great opportunity to clean up an old regulation that is subject of statutory overreach, constitutional conflict, and onerous compliance that will minimize the time, cost, and burden being placed on the affected public. This action will ensure that state regulations are consistent with Alaska statutes and limited to carrying out the statutory purpose. Now, there are a number of well drillers standing by whose name are on a list I provided to this committee. They are an integral part of my presentation. I would be happy to answer any questions from this committee, but prefer to address them after you hear the well drillers, and I will be standing by. Thank you for your time and consideration of this matter.
Thank you, James, very much. You have a very persuasive argument, and I'm really appreciative of the fact that you took the time to give us that presentation today. I did want to just point out two things. Administrative Order 266, I saw that you noted that in your testimony. There's also a bill that is over in the Senate right now, House Bill 140, which does cause an agency or a commission or a board to identify where the regulation is promulgated, and also to assist the impacts in aggregate to the private sector. So that those are definitely two things that looks like you're aware of. And I also wanted to ask you, who is your representative and your senator?
Currently, we're the subject of redistricting that's taking place here. And so Senator Click Bishop is my current representative. Senator Mike Dunleavy will be the new one for this area. We've talked to both about this issue, both offices about this issue. Representative Eric Feige is our representative here, and we've talked to him extensively about this matter. He's actually the one who brought up the Administrative Regulation Review Committee to me, and has been helpful in actually laying out and looking at some of these statutes and regulations in hard copy on a table side by side. So we appreciate the efforts of all.
Okay, and you know, with that, I'm going to see if there's any questions from the committee. Also, I want to recognize Representative Tarr. She showed up probably 10, 15 minutes ago. So Representative Tarr has a question for you.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm just wondering, with the well logs, is that a piece of information that would be included when a property is transferred? And is that maybe part of the reason we would want to have some of that information, or does that situation have any impact at all?
Now, I'm speaking from my background, but I can certainly have an opinion on that. I would think that when you purchase a property, you would want all the information. When you have a chance to look at that property, you're going to want all the information that you can. And so certainly information that should be supplied from the seller to the buyer. Now, since this is a private well log where the state feels like they need to come in and confiscate private property, the information of that well log is part of our argument that that's unconstitutional.
Madam Chair,
follow up.
Thank you. And so I'm just trying to envision, okay, so right now that information is made available to the state, and I'm wondering if that's how it would be available in the instance of a property transfer. So if these regulations went away, would you retain that information and have it available? I just think it's the kind of information that might be necessary to get bank financing or something, you know, to make sure there wasn't some unknown problem, kind of similar to when you have to have an inspection, you know, and make sure the structure is sound.
Representative Tarr and to the chair, I would suggest that if you wanted to sell your property and the buyer that you were discussing with wanted to buy it, that you would be highly motivated to supply everything that the buyer would need to the bank to engage in a transaction that's taken place there for financing. So I would say that would be between the buyer and the seller. Now, I'm not saying in some of the more organized urban parts of the state that there are considerations that might need to take place at an organized borough or municipality level, but being able to cast a net that covers every square inch of this huge state when over half of this state is unorganized is going a bit far.
I, and thank you. I just was trying to understand the mechanism for who would be responsible for keeping that information. Sounds like you're thinking, you know, that information goes to the property owner, you hang on to it, and at whatever time you sell your property, you make that information available.
Representative Tarr, to the chair, yes, I agree that information is the landowner's property. And they're responsible for producing it when they sell the property.
Sure.
James, if you could take a couple more questions, that would be great. Senator Stevens has a question for you.
Well, thank you for your testimony, James. I believe you said that DOR is not enforcing the regs. So I just want to make sure I understand this. There are regulations on the books. They're not being enforced, but you're concerned that at some point they might be. Is that the case?
Senator Stevens, to the chair, it's my opinion that as we deal with all the headline issues, it's very difficult to go back and clean up onerous, overreaching regulations. It's not fun work. It's not exciting work. There's no glamour in it. But sometimes we need to come back and clean behind us, which is why I was thrilled to hear the mission of this particular committee. So we are bringing before you a bit of cleanup work that needs to take place. Now, interestingly enough, people out on the land still have to live with onerous regulations weighing on their shoulders, a certain type of oppression which is clearly taking place and weighs on folks. So this is an opportunity to clean up an old regulation.
But I just want to clarify, you have said that the DOR is not enforcing the regulations. Is that correct?
To my understanding, they're not actively spending state funds going out to enforce this regulation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and with that, Mr. Squires, I'm gonna ask you to please stay in touch with this committee. I'll be chair of this committee through next, probably January 15th or so, whenever session begins. The gavel will be passed to another person. But if you could please stay in touch with me, we definitely want to follow this issue and keep all, of course, your representative and your senator in the loop. But I definitely, there's so much interest. I've got
lots and lots of people online right now wanting to testify. It's obviously generated tremendous interest. And so with that, thank you for your both your written and your public testimony, and please stay in touch with the committee. Thank you.
Yes, Chairman Reinbold, thank you very much. And there are six well drillers that should be on standby who are an integral part of my presentation. So I'm hoping you will get to those six next. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you
standby.
Very much.
Standby. Any more questions?
Okay, fabulous. Okay, all right. Well, next I'm going to go ahead and I'm trying to figure out. There's a bunch of selfs and there's a bunch of drilling. So I'm going to jump to Larry Whitehart of Palmer S&S Drilling.
Yes, this is Larry Whitehart, owner-operator of S&S Drilling here in Palmer, Alaska. Madam Chairman, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Very good, thank you. I have a brief statement here. I am the owner and operator of S&S Drilling. I've worked in the water well and related industry for over 30 years. I am and always have been concerned and opposed to the current well log reporting regulations. As a businessman and owner, there are proprietary issues. Many years of hard work building a customer base and knowledge of drilling conditions in various locations throughout the state, it is unethical that I would give this information to my competitors, which there are many, and which are increasing by the year, so that they might contact my customers and undercut my prices and my many years of hard work building this business. When a private property owner hires my company to drill a water well, that is on their property, that is on the property of the owner, it is the owner. If the owner would or would not like to share that information well logged with the state and the general public, it is their right. It is not my right to give away their information. I, however, should not be compelled to do so. In closing, I would like to ask this panel to change the regulation to read, instead of will turn in well logs, that they may turn in their well logs. And thank you very much for hearing my concerns. And this has been an ongoing concern for quite some time. Currently, there are water well stakeholder meetings that are taking place, which I am a active member in these meetings. The question was brought up of enforcement of the regulation. In these meetings, we have been threatened by DNR that they are going to start taking active measures against well drillers that do not turn in wells. What those measures are, we're not sure of. But that is of great concern to all well drillers in the state, I believe. Thank you for hearing me today.
Okay. With that, thank you for your testimony. And again, we are going to be following this issue, and feel free to contact myself or any member of the committee on the progress. So thank you for your testimony. We do appreciate it, and we are listening. Okay. Next, and I apologize ahead of time if I don't say your name right, but Ted Shackle from Big Lake, are you online?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I am born and raised here in Alaska in the territory before statehood. My parents came in 54 and started the drilling business here in Alaska with 10 of us kids.
Ted,
more and more regulation.
I just wanted you to get your name and who you're representing just for the records online, please.
For is their personal information, and I am not legally obligated to turn that in because it belongs to them and not the state. And for the DNR to force us to turn them in is wrong, and it erodes my rights and the private citizens' rights. We have been drilling in Alaska here since 54, and we have, like as Larry stated, worked very hard to develop our area and our expertise in certain areas, and by handing the well logs over, a newcomer to the well drilling industry can pick up the well log and say, well, I don't want to drill in this area, or this is, we'll drill over here because it's easier. And that is information that I have worked very hard to obtain and will protect. And at this current time, we only turn in commercial well logs, and private well logs we hold back. It remains with the property owner and with the property as they sell the properties, and has worked very well in the past. And I am asking that you will change the regulations, that they will read to, we have the a right to turn them in if we wish to only. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, and we are considering this issue, and we will be listening to the department, and we hope we'll be able to work with them in order to come to a resolution of this problem. But with that, thank you very much. We do appreciate your testimony. We have a lot of other drillers. I'm trying to get to the drillers because I know that they have been online for a while. So is Dan Brotherton from Fairbanks on? And if you could please clearly state your name and who you are representing, that would be very helpful.
My name is Dan Brotherton. I've been in Alaska since 1960. I operate Arctic Drilling in Fairbanks. And my views on the well log is that the well log belongs to the property owner only. I'd like to reference California Water Code Section 13752 prohibits distributing well completion reports to anyone but the landowner without his or her written permission. Not even are they able to give that well report to a government agency without the landowner's permission. And I don't want us to be like California, but I believe that that law is right, and that's the way that it should read here. I don't believe the well log should be available to the driller to give to anyone but the landowner without his written permission. And that's about sums it up for me.
Well, good. We appreciate you getting right to the point, because there's quite a few testimony people online today. So thank you very much, and as with everyone else, please stay in touch with us, all right? And I do have an aide, and I forgot to recognize her today. Her name is Crystal Kieneman in my office. So if anybody has any additional information they would like to send, please send it to me or Crystal Kieneman. It's on the line under the regulatory review under the State of Alaska website under the legislature. So anyway, with that, I'm going to go down to Chuck Ice. If you could please clearly state your name and who you're representing.
I'm Chuck Ice. I'm representing Ice Water Well Incorporated here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We've been here drilling since the 70s, and this is proprietary information. I mean, anybody comes in from the next town, country, and they can pick up the well logs and just walk in and start drilling and know what they're getting into. So there would be my biggest complaint right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. And it doesn't look like there's any questions at this time, so I'm going to step down to Lee Ice.
Good morning. My name is Lee Ice. I represent Ice Water Well Incorporated. We are a drilling company in Fairbanks that has been involved in the drilling industry for three generations. And I have a problem with the regulation requiring me to give away something that somebody has paid me to obtain. So I do not feel it is my information to give away freely. It is the persons who paid for it that
wanted the work done. So I'd like to see the regulation changed. Thank you.
Again, thank you. That was very good testimony. We're listening, and please stay in touch with us, all right? Okay, next I'm going to go to Swan Drilling, John Bonacore. And again, please, if you could state your name and affiliation, that would be helpful just to make sure we get it correct on the record.
Good morning. My name is John Bonacore. I'm with Swan Drilling Company here in Fairbanks. third-generation drillers in Fairbanks area. And I feel like that's homeowners' private information that we're delivering to the homeowner. If the state DNR wants that, they should have to go to the homeowner for that information, not try and obtain it through the drilling companies. Thank you.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much. We do appreciate your testimony. We have several people online. We have Len Kent with the DEC Deputy Commissioner that's available for questions. We also have a Department of Law, John Baker, online for questions. We've also got Dave Shady from Anchorage DNR that's available for questions. But I'm going to go ahead and continue public testimony at this time. So if I don't know if there's any other drillers that were invited online, but hopefully the LAO moderator will let me know if there is. But right now I'm going to go ahead and go to Jeff Ellison, and I believe you're from Homer, but please state your name and your affiliation clearly for the record. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Jeff Ellison. I am. I live in Homer, and I own Blackwell Pump Service and Homer Drilling. Been here since 2008. I also own Water Solutions, which is a distributor of Norwesco tanks and water filters. I'm a board member of the Anchor Point Safe Water. A member and treasurer of the Alaska Water Well Association. I had a whole little statement prepared, but a lot of these guys have covered it very well, especially James. I appreciate that speech. That was really good. And I guess what I would have to add is I'm relatively new to the area. I've been here since 2008 and would probably be, you know, considered new. So, but what I would add to that is immediately when I got here, it was very apparent how valuable the well logs are. As a new driller to the area, it's nothing, drilling up here in the remote is nothing like drilling in the lower 48. When you're drilling in the lower 48, there's water here and there. It's basically one aquifer that you go drill to. So well logs aren't near as important as they are up here, especially rural. But, you know, like I said, coming up here, seeing the type of drilling in the rural areas, it was very apparent how proprietary the well logs were to a driller, especially that's been here a long time. They have huge value. And the other thing I wanted to add to that was I purchased Blackwell Pump Service when I got up here, and they've been here since the 80s. And the reason for that was a lot of the information that comes with someone that's been in an area since the 80s, not only the personal knowledge, but the paperwork that goes along with that. And to turn something in that's private like that just isn't right. Now the other thing that I could see with the well logs that I wanted to add was that, you know, someone like a gravel company or a cement company can look at these well logs on the whole and say, hey, that might be a good place for a gravel pit, or hey, that's a good place for a sand pit. You know, that's the other side of this, that making this knowledge public that someone should have to pay for is, you know, something that I believe should be up to the homeowner to turn them in. So I guess that's all I had to say. You know, there's I guess a few other things I could say, but I think most everybody covered it pretty well. So thank you for listening.
Well, Jeff, thank you very much for your testimony. And as everyone who's listening online, please, if you have any additional comments or anything in particular you want us as a committee to look at, you certainly feel free to send it to the chair of the regulatory review. We really do want to follow this issue and get as much information as we can. So with that, thank you for calling in from Homer. We're getting calls in from all across the state today. So we do appreciate you taking the time to testify today. Okay, with that, I'm going to go to Tok. Is Brandon Flynn online?
Yes.
Brandon, please proceed. I'm sure you know the drill by now. Identify your name clearly and who you represent. Thank you.
Yes, My name is Brandon Flynn. I'm from Tok, Alaska. I represent myself.
Okay, please proceed.
I don't think there should be any logs or any control of the water. I think it should be just for the landowner. You still there?
Yes, we're still here. Please continue.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. You got right to the point. So really appreciate that. And if you have any follow-up information, please send it to us. Thank you very much. Next, I'll be going to Alvin Bates.
Hello. Thank you for your time. My name is Alvin Bates. I represent Tok, Alaska. I'll just get right to the point also. Basically, we here in Tok are pretty stirred up about this. We're very upset. We know the law's on the books. We know it hadn't been enforced in many years. We all here feel very strongly in our rights of privacy. The average person in Tok is a private individual with a family, and I don't know anybody that uses over 500 gallons per day. So the citizens of Tok would strongly encourage the board to expect privacy of these laws. We know what the laws say, and you can choose to enforce the law, but we also know that this could very well be the first step of taxes and fees and other costs associated with well drilling. In the state of Colorado, I didn't have a chance to look it up, so I can't be quoted, but when I was there, citizens were paying $5,000 to $10,000 to the state just for the right for the well driller to come in and drill. We here in Tok are largely unemployed in the winter. Our wages are low for the most part, and we cannot afford taxes and fees and various other things. So we strongly encourage the board to make the changes that James requested. It only takes a word or two. And just as a caveat, for all those on the board listening, we do hold all of you responsible for your decision. And every person on your board and others in the House and in the Senate that would vote to harm the people in the interior of Alaska, we do have what Ronald Reagan often said, to vote with our feet. And we can support those whom we wish to support, and we can pull our support from those whom we pull. And that would be at the time of voting. So keep that in mind. We know that you have our best interest at heart, but it's more than just a legal wrangling of the well drillers. Yes, they have a personal interest at heart, but we as individuals here in Tok, I mean, you're only going to hear a few of us right now, but they're strongly stirred up. There's a lot of passion in this, because they know this is where this is going to lead in the future. It will lead to taxes. It will lead to fees. And it will hurt the people of Alaska. So we strongly encourage the board to make the right decision. And we would just like to say that, and we'll go on to the next person. Thank you for your time.
Well, Alvin, I'm actually going to take a moment to make a comment at this time. First of all, I want to say that I don't know if the average citizen knows how regulations are promulgated, but regulations are promulgated by departments and boards. The state legislature does not do it. And good or bad, we have very little control over that. I am trying to change it so there's a little bit more impact with the regulation, more transparency with House Bill 140. But at this time, we have to work with the department. The departments are the ones that do these regulations. And most people that I've talked to in the community had no idea that it is not the legislature. It is the departments and boards that do these regulations. So we are looking at it. We are listening. We are going to try to work with the department to see, and we're going to hear from them as well, but we're going to see if we can do something to make a difference, but there is only so much control that the legislature has at this time, but with that, I do want to say thank you for your testimony, and we definitely, with the decreasing revenues right now,
there are going to be people looking out there for revenue. So everyone is trying to keep their heads up and pay attention to what's going on within our government. So I do appreciate your testimony very much. So next,
one last thing, Madam.
Yes.
That's the right thing to say. In the interior, our state has got, and I know it has very little to do with you, but people may be listening, we have got to start living in our budget. We voted against that bond, that near billion dollar bond that just came through that put us in the red, which was foolishness. And the people need to realize up there in Juneau, we've got to start living in our budget. You can't keep squeezing us in the interior, or pretty soon we'll get to our last dollar. Where will we spend it, on food or on taxes and fees and regulatory, you know, issues? Even if it's demanded, there is a finite level and of money that we have to spend. So with that, good night. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You know, I'm going to make one more comment, if you don't mind. But you know, thank you guys, all of you, for calling in. Because if you want your government to leave you alone, you can't leave your government alone. And right now, you're not leaving us alone. And we do appreciate this input. So next, I'm going to go to Terry Brigner. I hope I said that right. And identify yourself clearly, please.
Yes, my name is Terry Brigner from Tote. My family are landowners here. First off, I would like to let you know that I do agree with the initial speaker, the gentleman from Delta. And I do believe that this regulation needs to be either eliminated or the wording changed, as he was saying. Secondly, I would like to say that as property owners in interior Alaska, the primary concern for most of us is privacy. And with something like this, there is a verbal contract between the well driller and the property owner, and there is implied privacy within that contract. And as a business owner in interior Alaska, the primary concern is trust between the business owner and the clientele. Now, to be forced to give these logs out is actually a breach of that trust. And if people were to find out that that information was given, then the business owner could end up going under because nobody would trust him with the information he held. That's pretty much it.
Thank you very much. And next, can you go to Cherish Brigner?
Yes, my name is Cherish Brigner, and I am representing myself and my family here. We are private citizens that, yes, we are landowners. This is directly affecting us. I don't want my children to have to worry about being taxed out of their land, basically. Us as Americans, we look at our right to freedom. There's so many countries that don't have that. That's why Alaskans live here. We want our freedom. We want our privacy. It is nobody else's business. Where my well is, how much water I use, that is all up to me. I feel that James stated very clearly how unconstitutional this is, and I believe everyone should get behind him and support him in the fact that this should be eliminated. If you have to, change the wording, but I am definitely for all total elimination of it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. This is some of the most incredibly quick testimony I've been through. So you guys are just really getting to the point, and therefore you're a lot, everyone is able to still stand and listen to this, because we are extremely busy these days, but we still have almost a full committee listening to each and every word you guys say. So thank you for being efficient. With that, any questions? No, okay. So with that, thank you very much for taking time to testify. And if Candy is there, and if you could say your name and who your affiliation, that would be great.
Yes, I'm Candy Troop. I represent Snowshoe Motel.
we're in compliance with the DNR, but I still think this is wrong, and the wording should be changed, and an infringement on our rights. That's all.
Thank you very, very much. I'm gonna stay in Toke. Is Cindy there?
I am here.
If you could please proceed.
My name is Cindy Kessler. I live in Toke, Alaska. I think that James is completely right. This is an infringement on our constitutional rights. We do not need more people in here trying to run us down. We are trying to survive in Toke. We pay for these wells to be put in. We are not going to pay for them to be guarded by any affiliation with the federal government. I want all people, legislators, senators, to know this is an election year, and the people of Toke are going to stand and do what's best for this community and for the state of Alaska. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
Thank you for doing this. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. We love to hear from the people, so thank you very much. And with that, is Rhonda there?
Yes, my wife is sick. My name is Jeffrey Van Zandt from Toke. I'm a private citizen. This law needs to be repealed. The interior is suffering from overregulations now. And as a legislator, you said you don't make these laws, but you hold the purse string to these departments, such as DNR. If you cannot stop this, get it repealed, then my representative in this area will not get my vote. I paid thousands of dollars for my well to have it put in, and I expect my information to be kept private. Public entities, then DNR may have something over that if the public is using the water. But private citizens in an unincorporated area, we have the right to our privacy, and we expect it, and we expect it upheld by our legislators in Juneau. We've had over 100 families leave this area in the past 2 years because of overburden and overpriced fuel, wood, and the cost of living. And this is just one more nail in the coffin of the people that live in rural Alaska.
Jeffrey, thank you very much for your testimony. If there's any other regulations or issue or in particular, please feel free to stay in touch. Would you mind telling me who your representative and senator is?
Neil Foster at this time. And Donnie Olson. And if this is not repealed, they need not ask me for a vote.
Okay. With that, is there anyone else who's still online? Please stay in touch with your own representative and senator, but also I still want to make sure that everyone feels free to stay in contact with us until there is a resolution. So with that, is Rhonda there?
Hello, I'm having an allergy attack, but I did just want to say that this, if for the people of Toke, you've got to repeal this. It's just become another regulation on top of the people, and we don't want it. I'm going to make this real quick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rhonda. I hope you're feeling better soon. And please stay in touch with Neil Foster. He actually has the office directly across from me, and I will be speaking with him in regards to this issue because we've heard plenty of testimony from your area, and it sounds like something needs to happen. So we appreciate your testimony. With that, I am going to again mention that John Baker from the Department of Law is on, and Elaine Floyd from DEC, and I believe, Elaine, you wanted to testify. Is that correct?
No, ma'am. Actually, I'm just available for questions.
You're just available for questions. Okay, I believe we have Rick, and I'm sorry, I don't want to say your last name, from Soldotna. Are you online, Rick? Is he gone? Oh, it looks like he had to go. Okay, with that we have also David Shady, who is available for questions. At this time, we are going to go ahead and bring up the Deputy Commissioner, Ed Fogles, from the Department of Natural Resources, to please state his side of the story.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ed Fogles, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. I appreciate the hearing on this issue, and I appreciate all the testimony we've heard so far. There's obviously a lot of grave concern over this issue. And so I'd just like to sort of run through a little bit of the framework of exactly what's going on here from the agency perspective, answer a few questions, and as I said, we have some experts, too, that can weigh in. But ultimately, this whole thing starts, it's a DNR regulation. DNR is mandated to manage the water resources of the state for the good of all the people. It's a public common resource, and our job is to manage the quantity of that and make sure that when someone drills a well that there's plenty of water to go around. We need a lot of information to do that. It's not an easy task. The Department of Environmental Conservation's role is to manage the quality of the groundwater, so they're a partner in this also. But again, this regulation is a DNR regulation, so I think we're at issue here. And the way I see it, there's really two issues here that are being brought forward to you, and that is, one, is this regulation actually legal? I think Mr. Squires brought that point up. I think it's to be fairly obvious that we have gone under the assumption that it is legal for all these years. We believe it's rooted in the Constitution soundly and in statutes. We have Assistant Attorney General John Baker online to sort of walk you through that if you should need more information. The second issue is this the right thing to do? And I think that's kind of the bigger issue that I think a lot of the people that are commenting have brought up. And so we need to explain to you why it is that we desperately need information on the groundwater resources of the state, because we have a very tough job to do to manage that, especially in an area where populations are growing and the demands are getting larger. I myself, a private property owner in Anchorage, went through a lot of public meetings on Sand Lake area looking at water debates. And a lot of those, a key to resolving those debates was information on the groundwater that was collected through water well logs. So Mr. Shady is our chief of our water resources section, and he can explain to you in great detail how he does his job and how he needs this information. So then the second part of that would be, is this the right process? Are we going about it the right way? I think you heard that. Though people are saying we don't enforce this regulation, it is very difficult to enforce. People are drilling wells all over the state. We don't have the resources to go around and chase everyone down. We don't intend to do that at this point. But the issue is, this is the right process? Is the regulation set up properly? I think our other message that I'd like to deliver, and Mr. Shady can go into more detail, is we are in fact right now working with a stakeholders group. So with water well drillers and water well users, to see how we're doing business, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and this regulation and this issue is definitely at the forefront of those discussions. And they've been going on for a while now, and they will continue to go on, and we will involve anybody that's testified here today in those discussions. So with that, I guess I would answer any questions, but I would also encourage you to pepper the experts with questions either on the law side with Mr. Baker and on the water side with Mr. Shady. Thank you.
Well, we do have several questions. I'm going to go ahead and start with Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I'm just wondering right now, just how is it that people submit just, as kind of a walkthrough as to, they were calling the process pretty onerous. Is there a way that could be refined to be a little more user-friendly, or I don't know the process well enough to know if that's an option.
Right. Yes. Representative Tarr, through the chair, that process is, I think, a likely topic of the stakeholder group to see if it can be made easier, but if I could ask Mr. Shady to maybe give you a quick rundown of how water well logs are actually submitted to DNR, I think that might be helpful for the committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and with that, which statute, I believe I have it in front of you, but which statute do you
take this regulation from. I've got the regulation here in front of me, but I want to know exactly the statute you're using to justify this action.
Okay. Again, Madam Chair, can I get our attorney, John Baker? He's the one that's prepared to discuss the legal basis for this this regulation.
John, are you online? John Baker, if you're online, clearly state your name and your affiliation and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Baker, Assistant Attorney General in the Natural Resources Section of the Department of Law in Anchorage. The statutory basis for the regulation are there are two separate and complementary bases for the regulation. AS 4615, 010, and 020 are part of the Alaska Water Use Act. Section 010 is a broad grant of authority from the legislature to DNR to determine and adjudicate rights in the water of the state and in its appropriation and distribution. So what that statute contemplates is that DNR is supposed to not only determine water rights and their priority. So in this case, we're talking about when individuals typically are going to want to use more than 500 gallons per day, and they're going to want to quantify that as a water right, as a property right, and get a priority date for it. But also in the broader sense of appropriation, which is appropriation is defined in Title 46 as to divert, impound, or withdraw a quantity of water from it, from any source of water for beneficial use, or to reserve it under a different section. So even withdrawing 500 gallons per day or less of groundwater through a well without getting a water right is an appropriation. So that is something that's clearly within DNR's statutory mission to regulate. AS 4615-020 requires DNR to exercise all those powers and do all those acts necessary to carry out the objectives of the Alaska Water Use Act. So that's very broad language. It's a broad grant of authority. And necessarily, statutes like this are not going to have the level of detail that are contained in regulations. The function of regulations as set out under the Alaska Administrative Procedure Act is to make more specific and implement statutory requirements in a way that's reasonably necessary to carry out the statute and consistent with the statute. So under that standard, this facially valid regulation would appear to be consistent with the broad statutory grant. There's a separate statute, AS 4108-020, that requires 020B4 that also serves DNR's statutory mission to understand the location, quantity, and quality of water resources, basically by aquifer. That requirement, and that's where more specifically data such as well log data would come from. That requirement was originally required of the Department of Geological and Geophysical Services, but by administrative delegation within the Department of Natural Resources, it's the Division of Mining, Land, and Water, and specifically the Water Section under Mr. Shady that implements that requirement now.
Okay. Have you been listening to the testimony here today?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I have.
Okay. So, you know, just as it's just amazing to me. We have a ton of water. I mean, it's unimaginable how much we water have in this state. It just seems like it would take an awful lot of people to try to regulate it. The people of Alaska are they're over-regulated. There's no doubt in my mind. And so do you see a difference between public and private? And if it's a private property that
privately paid for this well. Don't you think the state should at least pick up the fee if they want this proprietary information?
Well, as far as fees, Madam Chairman, I think that's a policy question that I would in my role, would certainly defer to the judgment of the legislature. But as far as the legal question as to whether there's a distinction between private or public resources or where that line is, it is a fairly nuanced question, but I think there is there's a perception issue here that probably is worth exploring. Under the Constitution, water in its natural state, this is under Article 8, Section 13, is considered a common use resource. So that relates back to Article 8, Section 3, which at least a couple of the speakers have alluded to. What that means is that certainly up until the point until one actually gets a certificated water right, water, even if you're withdrawing from a well on your own property, you're tapping into a public resource. That's a common use resource. So the understanding of the department, certainly at the time the regulation was enacted, was that the collection of this data is a condition of accessing the public resource, this common use resource. The water itself, that aquifer, is a public resource, notwithstanding that it may underlie an individual's private property. So I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between viewing the property itself, which certainly is the landowner's, and the aquifer, which continues to be a public resource. And the justification for the regulation, of course, is to be able to obtain data necessary to continue to manage what continues to be a public resource. If there are concerns about about privacy, or perhaps it might be best described as confidentiality of the data that's collected, there is another statute which would apply, and I can give the committee the site there. That's AS 3805035, A as in alpha, 8, D as in delta, which provides C. It's 3805035AC, which allows an individual to request the Department of Natural Resources to keep confidential all geological, geophysical, and engineering data supplied, whether or not concerned with the extraction or development of natural resources. Well log data like this, as hydrological information, would be considered a subset of geological information. And so that statute that's already on the books provides a mechanism for the individual to, after providing the information to DNR so that it can do its statutory mission, nevertheless request that the information be kept confidential by the department. So the department wouldn't have to make that information available to everyone, but the department could nevertheless continue to use the data to manage the water resource.
You know, I may be saying something, going a bit too far, but I do think we have way too many lawyers, we have way too many laws, and these people simply want water. They just want to drink water and to survive and not have the government on their back. And they don't want their competition, their competitors, to see data that really I'm not even sure that the government, you know, really needs. It's private land, and I can understand if it's, you know, in the area where there's a big city, you know, that maybe, you know, there would be issues around that. But don't you see the constitutional privacy issues for the people? I mean, are you not seeing that side of the argument?
Madam Chair, the question about privacy would also depend on which resource we're looking at. So I think a court would have to look. I'm not aware of an Alaska court so far finding a violation of a right to privacy in an analogous situation where the data that's being requested is of a public resource, and the way the law is set up right now, the collection of that data is under the regulation, it's a condition of being able to access the resource. So I can't tell the committee that I'm aware of any
similar situation where an Alaska court has ever found that to rise to the level of, of an invasion of privacy. For one thing, when you have a facially valid regulation on the books, that puts all members of the public on a constructive notice of the requirements of the regulation. Just as, for instance, if there are hunting regulations, fishing violations, even if I don't go and read the regulations, I'm on constructive notice of what they require. So I'm not able to, you know, if I exceed my bag limit, I don't have a defense on the basis of not being familiar with the regulation. So the regulation advises people up front that if they want to access that public resource, a condition of doing that is to provide the well-logged data. Now, it's certainly a policy question as to whether that information is necessary. I think the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Environmental Conservation can speak to that. But as far as the privacy concern, I think there may be a little bit of a disconnect between the private property, the land that the homeowner has, and the information about the aquifer, which is the public resource. And again, if there's a concern about privacy, the Title 38 has that mechanism that would allow the homeowner probably even the well driller to request that the information be kept confidential. So it would not necessarily be shared, and it would not necessarily be available to the competitors of the driller.
Okay, and as you well know, a statute definitely supersedes a regulation, and certainly the Constitution supersedes a statute. So, I mean, I think these people are bringing some very valid concerns forth, and are you willing to work with the department to change that from a shall to a may?
Madam Chair, if a state agency undertakes to change their regulation, we'll certainly do whatever we're asked to do within our statutory duty to do that. Whether to do that, of course, is a policy question that's beyond the scope of this office.
Well, I can tell you, speaking for myself, I certainly want the privacy of this privately paid for data protected, one, and certainly a shall turn to may. I'm definitely going to be asking the department to do that, and I'm hoping they're going to be willing to work with us. With that, Representative Hawker.
Thank you. John, Rep Hawker here. I don't know if I misheard you, but I think just on the record, I thought I heard you reference statute 38.05.035A8C. I believe if you look at that, it's 38.05.035A9C.
Representative Hawker, in the through the chair, in my volume, it's showing up as 8C.
Hmm.
This is under 30.05.035A8. The director must maintain the records of the commission. The commissioner considers necessary, administer oaths, do all things incidental to the authority imposed. The following records and files shall be kept confidential upon request of the person supplying the information. And subparagraph C is all geological, geophysical, and engineering data supplied, whether or not concerned with the extraction or development of natural resources.
And if I may, Madam Chair,
please.
I agree completely with the reading and interpretation. The materials I was provided in my committee packet shows that Section 8 was repealed. You may have a conformed version of statute somewhere. So, again, I have no idea where these were sourced and if they are archaic documents, but thank you.
Okay. Representative Tarr.
Sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess in listening to this, I think one of the things that maybe someone from the department could comment about that might help landowners understand is, you know, does anybody sort of share the geologic information? Because, you know, just because they're drilling on their land doesn't mean they're not impacting the water resource on adjacent properties because of how underground aquifers work and the potential, you know, if there's contamination in, you know, one well, that it would lead to contamination in others. So I wonder if that information is communicated to individuals, you know, just as a way to help understand why the information is actually necessary, because I see it as a way to protect landowners by preventing them from being impacted by the activities of someone who, even though they maybe live a mile down the street, you know, because of where the homes are built and where the wells are drilled, you know, if they do something incorrectly, you know, it could impact. And I'm just thinking of the situation on the hillside. I remember there was a situation, and maybe Rep. Hawker would remember this, where people, you know, there was no water. People, you know, were building homes, but there was no water. And so it seems like this information really is, you know, necessary, and so it's hard for me to get around that, you know, but I can appreciate people wanting to keep it private. And so maybe that's, you know, just seems like maybe if more communication about, you know, what was happening underground and why it's actually a way to protect that landowner, maybe that could help resolve some of the concerns.
Right. Representative Tarr, through the chair, I absolutely agree with you, and I think that's one of the big discussions that we're having in our stakeholders group. But you're right on. I mean, the intent, I mean, the department's goal here is not just simply to regulate. We want to make sure that Alaskans have plenty of water to drink. That's the only reason this is even an issue, because we need to do that. As I mentioned, I personally went through this when a large subdivision was going to go into some of the aquifers next to my well, and the only reason that I felt comfort in this happening was because I saw good data on the aquifer system in my neighborhood. If we don't have the data, we can't manage this resource properly. That's just as simple as that. So it's all about the data, one way or the other. We're going to have find a way to get the data on the groundwater. This is one way. We might be able to adjust the way we do it. There are definitely tools we can use to address confidentiality issues, as John Baker said, and we're definitely willing to work with the committee to figure out a better way to do business. But bottom line is we need that information. That's critical for our job to manage, make sure Alaskans have water to drink.
You know, and with that, I can see that if there is, you know, an instance like this, maybe where there's, you know, a limited amount in the area, but in areas where it's not an issue, it just seems like the government is doing stuff it doesn't really need to be doing. And I highly think that it's paid for by the private sector, and it's competitive data. It's just like a complete against capitalism and freedom and privacy and the Constitution, as many people. So I mean, I think it can. I think the government sometimes can overact, overreact, overregulate, and we need to be cautious of that. And so at minimum, I believe we should change it from shall to may, and certainly make sure that every landowner knows their rights, that this, if they ask for it to be private, it needs to be kept private. So, I mean, I think that it absolutely needs to be addressed. With that, I'm going to see if there's anybody else that you know of. It does, I know Deputy Commissioner Lynn Kent is on. I know Elaine is on from DEC. I know that Dave Shady is on from DNR. I want to make sure that I've given everybody the opportunity that wishes to speak today. Do you know of anybody?
Madam Chair, I know that I think Deputy Commissioner Kent from DEC is online to answer questions. My staff person, Dave Shady, is on to answer questions. I think I've given you a high-level overview. He can go into more detail on how we regulate if the committee would want, but I would just leave it up to Lynn Kent to say if she needs to say anything or not.
Representative Hawker?
And Madam Chair, and I also need to go on record here. Water rights are a huge issue in my district, South Anchorage, Upper Hillside. While you would think there would be a lot of water, there's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have neighborhoods where you run a shower and there's not enough water for your well to refill for, you know, whatever. A lot of that had to do with overbuilding, increasing density in previously low density areas, and so much of that was in the era before we really had put these sort of regulations, and specifically the ability of individual landowners to apply for their water rights. You know, I went must have been about 1982, 84, somewhere in there. You know, all of us ended up filing for our water rights when they started building a great big golf course, out there, and there was a great concern that there was not going to be enough water in our aquifer for basic residential purposes. So to that end, the key point, what I do recall, was the ability, there was that checkbox on this data shall be confidential. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key over the paramount concern here, is if you don't want your well data published, whether it be the landowner or the contractor, make certain that you go out of the way to make that great big bold checkbox on confidentiality known to folks. That was the common thread throughout this, was this is my data. It's proprietary. It helps me build my business, or it's just none of your damn business what it is. But respectfully, it is, because it's not just that individual landowner. It's what we're doing to our neighbors. And certainly in my district, I absolutely believe we need to be maintaining that sort of information as we are, again, we are rationing, and I use that word carefully, but allocating a scarce resource in my neighborhood, which is water for that matter. And we need to have that information available as we make these judgments. So again, that golf course opens up. Their right did not, by not predating ours and by having the data behind us, we were able to keep them from using the water that my constituents need when they need it. So, I mean, this is a sword that cuts both ways, but I think confidentiality provisions are the answer that protects all interests.
Okay. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is for Deputy Commissioner Kent. I'm just wondering, with your ability to then manage water quality, do you also need this well log information, because that's, you know, how those functions can go hand in hand?
Yes, Representative Tarr, through the chair. This is Lynn Kent. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at Department of Environmental Conservation. We do need that information, and we do use that information. The department doesn't directly regulate private wells, but what we do regulate are on-site septic systems and their distance from private drinking water wells. The intent there is to make sure that if you have a drinking water well on your property, your neighbor can't come in and put in a septic system that's right against their property line that has the potential to contaminate your drinking water source. So it's that well log information that includes the location of wells that helps the department ensure those required separation distances are met between wells and sewage handling facilities like these on-site systems or septic pipelines. We also use these well logs in the contaminated sites arena. So unfortunately, we have many, many contaminated sites with oil or hazardous substances that affect groundwater. And we rely pretty heavily on both the private well logs and public well logs to determine things like the depth of the groundwater, the depth that a well is screened at, so we know where in the aquifer water is being drawn from. We use it for flow rates and determine the direction of groundwater flow so that we know who might be at risk of drinking contaminated groundwater. So that information is absolutely critical for us to protect public health. And I would just say an example of that would be that we relied on some of the well log information from private wells to track the sulfalane plume that's emanating from the North Pole refinery right now in order to quickly get initial information on who might potentially be affected by that. So we do rely pretty heavily on the well log information.
Thank you.
Representative Hawker.
And thank you again, Madam Chair. And I would also, again, illustrate the validity of that concern in the personal experience. I'd been in, my property was built in 1981. I had another property that was, the neighbor's property was developed, built probably about, 2000, 20 years later. They drilled their well right next to my septic field. They had problems, to say the least, and it's just something that, for whatever reason, they chose to ignore the setbacks on that and ended up having to redrill a separate well, so it was very expensive to them.
Okay, and with that, I definitely appreciate all the testimony. I appreciate the issue being raised. I do want still to keep the public testimony open on this issue, and I want to definitely work with the department on privately paid for data. I want all these people to know where they can be protected from the government, you know, overly posting information that, that may not be necessary online. And certainly, I know that there's issues. Everybody wants healthy drinking water, but you know, way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, how much is government need to really be involved? You know, it's a plentiful resource in most places of the state. So I do want to keep this open. I do want to thank Deputy Commissioner Ed Fogles and the presenters and the testimony. And we will be having another hearing on this issue in the summer. And we also will be continuing our regulatory hearings on education and education regulations. And if anyone else has any in particular thing they would like to hear testimony on for regulations, please work with my staff, Crystal Kahneman. She's a great legislative aide, and she's available for all of our access. So please feel free to contact Crystal. And with that, we are going to adjourn at 9:30. Thank you.
Thank you.